Hello, life bookers around the world, and welcome to this month's Life Notes, moving you one book closer to living a 12-category smart life. This is Jordan River, and you are now listening to the Life Note, Tribe, by Sebastian Younger, summarized by Marcia Joseph. As always, let's begin with a quote. There are many costs to modern society, starting with its toll on the global ecosystem and working one's way down to its toll on the human psyche. But the most dangerous loss may be to the community. Core concept. Tribe considers the value of connection that comes from being part of a tribe and how the absence of these connections can negatively impact us. This short but powerful read by author Sebastian Younger will prompt you to think about the presence or absence of tribes in your own life. Drawing upon examples such as close connections formed in the army or how Native American Indian tribes maintain their cohesiveness, Younger suggests that we're missing the benefits of this closeness in our modern lifestyles. Sebastian Younger is a journalist and number one New York Times best-selling author of books that include The Perfect Storm, War, Fire, and others. He also co-directed the film Restrepo, an Academy Award-nominated film that won the Grand Jury Prize at Sundance. Some favorite big thoughts that we'll explore include modern life in isolation, being on our own starts young, the interesting phenomenon of how catastrophes and social bonds are linked, a look at fraying morality, how conflict and closeness are not that far apart, and finally, considering the aftermath of war and the resulting alienation at home. So let's jump into the big thoughts from Tribe. Modern life and isolation, the price tags. Quote, a person living in a modern city or a suburb can, for the first time in history, go through an entire day or an entire life, mostly encountering complete strangers. They can be surrounded by others and yet feel deeply, dangerously alone. End quote. For most of our time on the planet, being part of a tribe has been imperative to our survival. However, modern life has dramatically altered our ability to survive independently without the benefit of that close-knit tribe. If we're hungry, we don't have to assemble a team of fellow hunters to track down and kill our dinner. We can just head to our local grocery store and plunk down a few dollars. Self-service registers can even allow us to buy our dinner without interacting with a single soul. But unfortunately, this fraying of our tribes can have significantly detrimental effects. In affluent communities, the lack of tribes can be even more pronounced. Increased affluence often goes hand in hand with increased self-reliance and therefore more loneliness. While you might feel good about being able to handle things on your own, that self-reliance can come with a price tag of lost connection with others. Younger notes that, quote, financial independence can lead to isolation, and isolation can put people at a greatly increased risk of depression and suicide, end quote. To be clear, we're not knocking financial independence or self-reliance, yet we must remain aware that there can be price tags associated with over-reliance on ourselves in the quest for this independence, and recognize when we're sacrificing relationships along the way. You may want to ask yourself where you might be trading independence and self-reliance for strong relationships and connectivity. If the trade-off is no longer worth the price, come up with some strategies for remedying your situation. Being on our own starts young, the stuffed animal phenomenon. Quote, the alienating effects of wealth and modernity on the human experience start virtually at birth and never let up. Infants in hunter-gatherer societies are carried by their mothers as much as 90% of the time, which roughly corresponds to carrying rates among other primates. End quote. It's not just adults who are dealing with the shift from community to isolation, but infants who are also experiencing similar changes in modern life. Younger writes that in contrast to the 90% of the time that mothers in hunter-gatherer societies spend time with their children, quote, in America during the 1970s, mothers maintained skin-to-skin contact with babies as little as 16% of the time, end quote. Interestingly, Younger also points out that the habit of kids bonding with stuffed animals is unique to Northern European society, since elsewhere children are sleeping more closely to the adults. In other parts of the world where kids sleep closer to their parents, they are able to derive a feeling of safety through that closeness rather than needing to rely on a stuffed animal. Parenting strategies will need to continue to adapt as the world changes rapidly around us. As children become more self-reliant, in the same way that adults have become this way, we'll want to stay tuned to any negatives that may result from that and adapt accordingly. Self-reliance can be a very positive character trait, yet it's also possible to take it too far at the expense of relationship building. More broadly, as we continue to move forward into modern life and all of the changes that come with it, it's worth paying attention to situations that result in increased isolation and the fraying of connections, both within and outside of our families. In doing so, we can develop strategies to ensure the continued good health of our families and our own tribes. Catastrophe and social bonds. There's a link. Quote, "The positive effects of war on mental health were first noticed by the great sociologist Emily Durkheim, who found that when European countries went to war, suicide rates dropped." End quote. It's a strange phenomenon that catastrophes such as natural disasters or even war can result in a drop in depression and suicide rates. Younger notes that during both world wars, the psychiatric wards in Paris were strangely empty. And in Belfast, during the riots of 1969 and 1970, suicide rates dropped by half. Depression rates also dropped. This seems counterintuitive. Shouldn't people be more depressed and more distraught when a war is going on? What may happen instead is that people feel a sense of common purpose as a part of a community going through the challenge of war, and as a result, they feel less depressed and more purposeful. A similar phenomenon can occur during disasters such as earthquakes or hurricanes, where rather than society breaking down into chaos, people come together through the power of community. So the importance of community and one's tribe is clearly evident here. Even under the most dire circumstances and catastrophes, support from others and a feeling of shared purpose can have a monumentally positive impact on one's state of mind. Fraying morality. No group checks and balances. Quote, "This fundamental lack of connectedness allows people to act in trivial but incredibly selfish ways," end quote. When you're part of a close-knit group, there are natural checks and balances that begin to get lost as the group expands. For example, if you live in a small town, you're likely going to think twice before committing a crime. As part of such a small tribe, the risk of getting kicked out is much higher and thus results in much more severe consequences. Younger suggests that one of the implications of our loss of community is that morality suffers as well. There's an attitude of every man for himself, and the anonymous nature of modern life can exacerbate this feeling. Let's take littering, for example. Quote, "When you throw trash on the ground, you apparently don't see yourself as truly belonging to the world that you're walking around in," end quote. Or to take it a step further, there's the behavior of cheating on your taxes. About this, Younger writes, quote, "When you fraudulently claim money from the government, you are ultimately stealing from your friends, family, and neighbors, or someone else's friends, family, and neighbors," end quote. If you lived in a small community, chances are that you won't casually go and steal your neighbor's chickens or his lawnmower. But when you live in a society absent of close connections, the moral code seems to take on a new tone. Younger notes that in modern society, people can get away with, quote, "incredible levels of dishonesty," end quote. It seems that finding ways to increase a feeling of connectedness as our tribes and communities grow bigger will be a key to protecting the moral fiber of our own society. Conflict and closeness. They're not that far apart. Quote, "I know what coming back to America from a war zone is like because I've done it so many times. First, there is a kind of shock at the level of comfort and affluence that we enjoy, but that is followed by the dismal realization that we live in a society that is basically at war with itself," end quote. Younger points out the irony that those who are participating in wars as soldiers have a cohesiveness amongst themselves that is in direct contrast with those of us they are defending back at home. He remarks that while in combat, differences among them that include race, politics, or religion are basically ignored. Yet back home, society seems to be at war with itself about these and other differences. Younger writes, quote, "People speak with incredible contempt about, depending on their views, the rich, the poor, the educated, the foreign-born, the president, or the entire U.S. government. It's a level of contempt that is usually reserved for enemies in wartime, except that now it's applied to our fellow citizens," end quote. It seems that we can learn something about cohesiveness and closeness from those who are fighting a war. Pretty ironic, isn't it? Can we find some common ground with those who we are at odds with and realize that we're all part of the same tribe? This seems to be a very worthy goal. And while we're on this topic of divisiveness, you might enjoy another great book on this subject called The Righteous Mind by Jonathan Haidt. In it, you'll find some great food for thought for how to appreciate an opposing point of view. The Aftermath of War: Alienation at Home. Quote, "The vast majority of traumatized vets are not faking their symptoms, however. They return from wars that are safer than those their fathers and grandfathers fought, and yet far greater numbers of them wind up alienated and depressed. This is true even for those who didn't experience combat. In other words, the problem doesn't seem to be the trauma on the battlefield so much as the re-entry into society." End quote. War, and its impact on a soldier's psychology, is a key theme of tribe. Particularly the contrast of feeling part of a tribe during the war, but then suffering a sense of alienation once at home. It seems tragic that someone can go through the hell of war and survive it, only for things to really fall apart once they get home and back to their normal life. Maybe that's just it. Our normal life has become not so normal. If, for generations, we've relied upon our own tribes to navigate our lives, wasn't that normal? And if so, then the fragmentation of community that we experience now is in contrast very abnormal. If there's a key lesson to be learned from tribe, it just might be the reminder that we aren't meant to operate alone. To survive and even thrive in this world, we should remember that our connectedness with others profoundly impacts how we move through the world and our own level of happiness, sense of purpose, and well-being. Ask yourself, are you missing a sense of being part of a tribe in your own life? If you're feeling inspired, consider using this book as a catalyst to examine how you can best optimize your own participation in the tribes and communities that surround you right now. To learn more about tribe, go to sebastianyounger.com. That's SebastianYounger.com. SebastianYounger.com to learn more about tribe. We hope you found this life note to be powerful and inspiring. I look forward to sharing more wisdom with you next month. Until then, thank you so much. Here's to moving one book closer to living 12 Category Smart.